Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Re'eh. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Kaf Gimel, Menachem Av, the 13th of August. For the hard copy of Torah Tidbits this week, it was a very hefty schedule. We put out a double issue for Parshat Re'eh and next week Shofatim, because the staff of Torah Tidbits are taking their vacations next week. And finally, we decided to not kill ourselves during our vacations to put out an issue, so we combined the two. No reason to do that on the radio. I hope to have a show for next Thursday as well. So this is just regular Parshat Re'eh. I'll talk about that in a moment. Let us first take care of Tehillim, Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai miya amod. Ki imcha haslicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela leora umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. I don't know about you, but I feel like starting with a song. This is from an album called Ki Ata Imadi by Shmuel Brazil and David Gabay. The track is called V'chol HaChayim. It comes from the Amidah, every day, weekday, Shabbat, Chag, one of the last brachot. There's a set of three blessings at the end of every Amidah: brachot of thanks and acknowledgement to God. And this is a statement: let all that live thank you and praise your name in truth, Hashem, who is our Savior and help. Selah. V'chol ha'chayim yoducha, Selah, v'halelu et shimcha be'emet, hokel yeshuatenu ve'ezratenu, Selah. Selah is some kind of instruction of the choir master to the choir, but the flavor of the bracha, of the words, is that all living beings acknowledge and thank God and praise Him in truth. He is our God who saves us and helps us.
Say Alleluia, Shimcha Be'yemes. Echol l'chaim yoidu choser, Lovi, Alleluia, Shimcha Be'yemes. Echol l'chaim yoidu choser, Lovi, Alleluia, Shimcha Be'yemes. Oh, okay, Yeshua Seinu, Ezra Seinu, I say no.
We take the book of Devarim, which we've done, and divide it into three parts. Remember, the entire book of Devarim is the farewell address of Moshe Rabbeinu to the people in the last 37 days of his life. The people are now encamped in their last place of wandering, and they will soon be crossing the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, spends his last days reviewing the mitzvot teaching Torah, going over the brief but colorful history of the previous 40 years, and presenting a mission statement, a goal of what Judaism is all about. The book starts with the first three sedras of Devarim, Va'etchanan, and Ekev, relatively few mitzvot in number out of the Torah's 613, but the history, the basics of Judaism, a review of the experience at Sinai, including a second version of the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, fundamental mitzvot like the reciting of Shema and the making of Brachot, which is based on Birkat HaMazon, prayer, very down fundamental Judaism. With this week's Parshat Re'eh, next week Shofetim, the week after Ki Teitzei, we have in three sedras the middle section of Dvarim, which consists of 170 mitzvot out of the Torah's 613. Do the math, and you will see that it is a very significant chunk of the Torah's mitzvot concentrated in this area of the Torah. Mitzvot number 613, that's a long-standing tradition, but they are certainly not evenly distributed throughout the Torah. The Torah is divided into 54 weekly portions, of which 17 have no mitzvot at all among the 613, and the bulk of the mitzvot come in a relatively small handful of mitzvot. Shoftim next week has 41 mitzvot, Ki Teitzei the week after 74, Re'eh, this week's parsha, 55 mitzvot, number 3 on the all-time mitzvah chart, following Ki Teitzei at number 1 and Emor at number 2. So it really behooves us to take a look at the range of mitzvot. Some of them talk about some of the details and some of the concepts which we see in Parshat Re'eh. But the parsha starts off where Moshe says in God's name, "See that today I have presented to you bracha and kalala, blessing and curse." What is the definition of a blessing? Asher tishmeu el mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem, asher anochi mitzave etchem hayom. If you listen to, hearken to, follow, keep the mitzvot of God, you will be blessed. Vehakelala, what is the curse? Im lo tishmeu el mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem, if you will not listen and follow and observe the mitzvot, v'sartem min haderech, and veer away from the path, asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom, that I am teaching you this day, lalechet acharei Elohim acherim asher lo yedatem, and follow idolatry. That's the curse. Then the Torah adds, when you will come into the land of Israel, that you are being brought to, the bracha, blessings will be pronounced from Har Gerizim, and the curses from Har Eval. There will be a ceremony, which we know of from later, of official pronouncement of the essence of receiving blessing from God, or God forbid, the opposite. And as Moshe Rabbeinu has reminded the people over and over again, Ki atem ovrim et hayarden, you are crossing the Jordan, Lavo la reshet et haaretz, asher Hashem Elokeichem noten lachem, God is giving you this land after you cross the Jordan, Virishtem otah vishavtem ba, you shall settle it and dwell there. But Ushmartem, not but, and Ushmartem la'asot et kol hachukim ve'et hamishpatim Asher Anochi Notein Lifneichem Hayom. Remember to keep all of the laws and statutes which I am giving you. That is a deal. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, goes to the Jewish people in order for us, to keep the mitzvot. They keep the mitzvot, they keep the land. They don't keep the mitzvot, we've got trouble. Eile hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tishmerun la'asot ba'aretz, asher natan Hashem Elokei Avotecha lecha lirishta, kol hayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adama. These are the laws and statutes which you shall keep once you get to the land of Israel. And it begins with the destruction of all remnant of idolatry in the land. Now, a little bit later on in the parsha, we find something that we've already seen back in Parshat Shmini, at the beginning of Vayikra. We saw it back from the time of Noach. We see it in the Talmud as well. And that is a perspective on human consumption of meat. According to our tradition, Adam and Eve were not given permission to eat flesh of animals. They were given all the vegetation, the fruits of the trees and the ground to enjoy and benefit from. They were not permitted to kill an animal for its food. Noach was the first one to be given that permission. And the permission comes, A, on the condition that the animal is killed first before its meat is taken. Eiver min hachai, limb from a living animal, is forbidden of all peoples in the world, from Parshat Noach. And in this week's Parsha of Re'eh is the prohibition of Eiver min hachai, limb from a living animal, for the Jewish people. One of the 613 mitzvot, one of the 365 prohibitions. But the context in which Noach was first given permission to eat meat, it followed his taking of the animals and offering them as sacrifices to God. It's as if God says, there's a very sensitive issue here of taking animals for your own benefit. You can't just do that without thinking about what's involved and without following rules and regulations which will prevent you from taking things for granted, which will prevent you, hopefully, from having an arrogant attitude of, I, the human being, can do anything I want with any element in nature because I am the human being. Comes Jewish law, the Torah, and says there are certain restrictions. You do not have automatic permission, in this case, to eat meat until you realize that sacrificing the life of the animal and consecrating it to God then almost gives you that permission to eat meat for your own pleasure. First, acknowledging it to God. Then you won't get so arrogant about it. Now you could eat meat. Noah was given permission to eat meat following his bringing of animal sacrifices to God. In Parshat Vayikra, in the book of Vayikra, you have 2.5 sedras, Vayikra, Tzav, and the beginning of Shmini, which are about korbanot, sacrifices. Then comes, and these are the animals you may eat, and these are the fish, and these are the birds, etc. Come to this week's Sedra of Re'eh, we see the same thing. We have first rules and regulations, the prohibition, obligation to bring korbanot when one pledges them, the prohibition against sacrificing holy korbanot outside the mikdash, the mitzvah to sacrifice all korbanot at the mikdash and not anywhere outside of it. I'll talk about that in a moment. That seemingly double presentation of the same rule. But there is a whole slew of rules for sacred meat. And then, if you want to partake of meat, You have permission to do so, provided. And that's where the rules fit in. We'll give you the provided in a moment. I mentioned that the same idea is presented in the Talmud, in the book of Mishnayot, the order of Mishnayot called Kodashim. You have Zvachim and Minachot, which are animal sacrifices and sacrifices and offerings from the plant kingdom, sacred offerings. And then you have Masechet Chulin, which deals with eating of meat, milk and meat issues, and various and sundry other issues related to our deriving benefit, not in a consecrated context of the Beit HaMikdash. That is the sequence. Now, when it comes to eating of meat, we have the following. I already mentioned Eiver Min HaChai, you may not eat limb from a living animal, meaning the animal has to be dead before you take meat from it. Jewish law requires that the animal not die of any other method except for ritual slaughter known as shechita. An animal that dies by any other means, that means drops dead of natural causes or is shot or electrocuted or whatever, that animal's meat is called nevela, and it is forbidden for Jewish people to eat it. It happens to be permitted for the non-Jews in the world. Their restriction, as far as we are concerned, is only Eiver Min HaChai, limb from a living animal. And put very simply, if a non-Jew goes into a forest with a rifle and shoots a deer and brings it back home to be cut up and used as meat, perfectly okay for him and any other non-Jew. We can even say to him, B'tei Avon, bon appetit, eat it in good health. A Jew is not allowed to do that, because a Jew can only eat meat following proper kosher ritual slaughter. We'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Re'eh. Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
We were discussing various mitzvot in Parshat Re'eh. Let me just finish the set we were talking about. Meat. Can't eat from the animal when it's still alive, has to be killed. That's called Eiver Min HaChai. Can't have death by any other method except for shechita. That's called nevela, the prohibition of nevela. Even when shechita is what kills the animal, if the animal has certain blemishes or defects where it would have died of its own without shechita, then the shechita does not help to permit us to eat it, and the animal is called a trefa. The generic term for non-kosher is the Yiddishy Hebrew word treif. It's probably in some English dictionaries as well. It's the opposite of kosher. But literally, treifa, means torn up. And it's referring to an animal like a sheep that was attacked and mauled by a wolf and is bleeding to death. The shepherd knows how to do ritual slaughter, and he says, why lose the meat from this animal? And he gives it shechita, puts it out of its misery. Kosher shechita, the animal can't be eaten from. It may be sold to a non-Jew, or given as a gift to a non-Jew. It could be fed to dogs or cats, but it can't be eaten by a Jew. It is not kosher. So we have the set of prohibitions, Eivor min hachi nevela trefa, requires ritual slaughter to put meat on our table. And ritual slaughter does not have to be one of the 613 mitzvot, but it is. And I always make that point because it could have been the technical way to avoid Eivor min hachi and nevela, but it's more than that. The Torah elevates its status to that of a mitzvah, not an obligatory mitzvah like eating matzah at the Seder night, not an obligatory mitzvah of hearing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but a mitzvah whose circumstances dictate its obligation. You want to eat meat, you want to eat from a cow, a sheep, or a goat, or whatever, you have to do shechita, ritual slaughter. But it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah kiyumit, a mitzvah that is fulfilled. With a bracha, asher kiddishanu God, who sanctified us with his mitzvot and commanded us on shechita. I'm going to jump around now because there are these 55 mitzvot to look at. I briefly mentioned something before that I wanted to go back to. Listen to these two commandments. The prohibition against sacrificing holy korbanot outside the mikdash. The mitzvah to sacrifice all korbanot at the mikdash and not anywhere else. You have a prohibition and a mitzvat aseh that basically say the same thing. Here's another example also from Parshat Re'eh. Not to send away an Eved Ivri, a Hebrew manservant, empty-handed when he goes free. The mitzvah of giving a bonus to a Hebrew manservant at his discharge. A prohibition and a positive command that basically say the same thing. And I really shouldn't say basically. They say the same thing. Plenty of examples in the Torah. Here's an obvious one, well, not an obvious one, but a common one. Mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur. Prohibition against eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. What's the difference? They say the same thing in the form of a positive command and a prohibition. And this is a style of many mitzvot in the Torah. There is a certain emphasis in there being both the aseh, the positive command, and the lo ta'aseh, the prohibition. But it's more than that. It's a way of looking at what God wants of us. To say, no, don't do that, is one thing. And to say, abstain from that, or don't do, no, not don't do those kind of things, that sounds like a prohibition, but be the person who doesn't do that. Sounds like I'm playing with words. I am a little bit, but not entirely, because a mitzvah that is a positive command has a different motivation from avoiding a prohibition. To overgeneralize, or to generalize and perhaps oversimplify, a prohibition is avoided by a person who has fear of God. A positive command is fulfilled by someone who has ahavat Hashem, love of God. Of course, there is an element of yirat Hashem, fear and reverence for God, in the fulfillment of a positive mitzvah. And I would imagine that a person who carefully avoids prohibitions is motivated by ahavat Hashem as well. But there is a qualitative difference between fulfilling a positive command and avoiding violating a prohibition. And these mitzvot that I've just mentioned have both dimensions. I would like to change topics now to another topic from Parshat Re'eh, one that's sensitive, particularly so for the Arut Sheva listening audience. This show is carried on both OU Radio as well as Israel National Radio. And that means there are non-Jews listening, as well as Jews from various different flavors of religious levels and commitments. Well, you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment, and I hope that I present it in a proper, constructive way. But I am going to tell it like it is, at least from my perspective. We'll get there in a moment, but I want to play another track from a different album. This one is from an album called Neginosi, which in proper Hebrew would be pronounced Neginati. I know I could get flack for calling that proper Hebrew. Neginosi is the Hebrew of a lot of people, including the one that I daven in and read the Torah in, but not the one that I speak in Hebrew. It is not the common spoken Hebrew. Anyway, Neginati means my melody. Yosef Chaim Block. This particular track is from the Friday night Zemira of Tzur Mishalo. The last stanza, Yibone HaMikdash, Yer Tzion Tamale, where we ask God to build the Beit HaMikdash, rebuild Jerusalem, and I mean more than the light rail system should be completed. I mean it in a physical sense as well as a spiritual sense, or a spiritual as well as a physical sense, religious sense. V'shom nashir shir chadash, there we will sing a new song, uvir na na na'aleh. It is a prayer that is conveyed in Birkat HaMazon and in this poetic manner in the Friday night Zmirot. Yosef Chaim Block with, I don't even know the name of the track. It could be Yibone HaMikdash, it could be V'shom Nashir, which is how the song starts, but you get the idea. And afterwards, we will go to another section of mitzvot from Parshat Re'eh. Okay, the topic I want to talk about, which is from this week's portion of Re'eh, is the topic of the enticer. A Jew, a fellow Jew, who either prophesies falsely or calls upon wondrous signs and miracles to prove, quote-unquote, his bona fides, and attempts to turn a Jew away from Torah Judaism towards another religion. I don't know if that's the best definition. Let me say right now that there are letter of the law definitions of the rules of enticer. There are spirit of the law, and there are various offshoots and ramifications, and I'm going to talk about them all without being very, very meticulous to distinguish from one or the other, because that's not my point. This is not a halachic presentation. This is a presentation of an idea which is very important in Judaism, and that is the attempt to take a fellow Jew, or let's say to take a Jew, away from his Judaism, away from his God, away from Torah, towards something else. Now, related to this is missionizing among the Jewish people, which is definitely an issue today, as it has been for a long, long time, specifically Christian missionaries. And in that, I can't really claim, although I said I'm not going to nitpick here, I can't really claim that that's what the Torah was talking about, because the Torah seems to imply that it is a fellow Jew who is attempting to take you away. Ki yakum bekir becha, if one arise from within your midst, implication being we're talking about a fellow Jew, which will lead us to the discussion of Jews for Jesus, Messianic Jews as they are called, and those ramifications which hit much closer to the target, to the bullseye of this topic of enticer. But I don't want to ignore missionizing from without, not claiming that it necessarily fits this portion, but certainly conceptually it does. I just finished recording a 10-minute plus piece on this next topic. There is not that much time left to the show. I don't want to eliminate any of what happened till now, including the music, and therefore I'm going to try to edit down what is in that 10-minute piece for the time remaining. So it might sound a little choppy. Please forgive me. So, again, without going into too many of the details, this issue here in Re'eh, at least reminds me of this attempt to win me over by persuasion to a point of view which is not in the mainstream approach of proper belief in God for a Jew. And therefore I will fight against missionaries, rebuff them, push for laws in Israel to prevent them from having any kind of influence. And, of course, not everybody is strong enough to withstand all of the pressure. And there are people who fall victim to missionizing. And this is a tragedy of Judaism now and in much of its history. So that's one thing. But to be more on target, as far as the content of Parshat Re'eh, we're talking about a fellow Jew. Now, let's not give history lessons. Let's talk, as I mentioned earlier, specifically Jews for Jesus. The Christian world has come up with a relatively new approach to the Jews, by saying, hey, not going to force you to convert. We want you not to convert. We want you to be a good Jew, a better Jew, the best kind of Jew that you could possibly be, and to accept Jesus as the Messiah, or as divinity, or part of divinity. These have various nuances, but their pitch is you can be a good Jew even if you believe in Jesus, and some say especially if you believe in Jesus. I'm not defining now what that means, quote, to believe in Jesus. I am saying that the approach of the Jews for Jesus, the Messianic Jews, is very, very much right out of this portion of a fellow Jew who is attempting to turn his fellow Jews away from the proper Torah belief in God into a form of idolatry. I again don't want to nitpick as to whether this constitutes bona fide avodah zarah or it has some kind of shade thereof, but I will say and will defend the position that for a Jew to believe in Jesus is turning away from God, from Torah, from mitzvot, from his Judaism. And therefore, he who entices his fellow Jew to do that is an enticer. And the Torah is very, very strict and harsh on the enticer. It is a capital offense, which we cannot today take care of without a Sanhedrin and without the whole process of testimony and all of that, but it doesn't make it less problematic. And various mitzvot in this sedra, not to love the enticer, to hate the enticer, these are opposites of the mitzvot of how we're supposed to behave towards a fellow Jew, but we will be extremely tenacious in defending Torah Judaism and the Jewish people from Jews for Jesus, and therefore we, the, let's call it the Orthodox community, I don't know if that's a good way to put it, will fight for, against the attempts to give a certain legitimacy to Messianic Judaism, because it is not Judaism. I don't know if I could say it any stronger than that. I don't know if I have any time to say it any stronger than that. Okay, I seem to have trimmed that better than I needed to. I now have another 30 seconds to say what I cut out was the background from the Torah about how and why we have to be very cautious of influences from the outside to take us away from Torah, away from God. And what I left in was the part that I really wanted to present, and that was the Jews for Jesus part, being fellow Jews who are trying to take us away from traditional Judaism. And it is not defensible by saying, but this is traditional Judaism. It isn't, and we have to fight it with everything that we have to fight. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtamea.